10 most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Number 9, Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Does God want you to prosper? Does He give us success if we simply live the way He wants us to live? I'm not sure this is actually what the Bible's saying. Look, before I'm too critical, on my high school graduation, I read Jeremiah 29:11 to believers and non-believers. Now I look back and go, not sure I fully understood this. So let's put it in context. Who is being spoken to here? When He says, "For I know the plans I have for you," who is you? It's not the church today. It's not all people on the planet. It actually was the Israelite nation in the Old Testament under the Mosaic Covenant. He is speaking to a particular people who were given a certain promise going back to the time of Abraham through Moses. Now we live in a new covenant because Jesus has come and forgiven us. Now, does that mean God doesn't want to have success and have prosperity? Not necessarily. But we can't point back to this verse and act as if it's a promise for us today when it was given to a certain people in a certain time. Now, of course, there's a ton we can learn from this verse about God's heart, about God's relationship with His people, but that's not a promise for you and me today. That's a promise for people in the Mosaic Covenant. In fact, added to this, when we look in the New Testament, we actually realize, if you read 1 Peter 3:14 and other passages, that it's actually God's will that sometimes we suffer. God doesn't promise to believers today, if you do A, B, and C, you will get D, E, and F as a result. God promises to guide us. He promises to be with us. He promises His Holy Spirit is with us. But let's just be careful pulling a promise out of the Old Testament that was for certain people at a certain time. It was not meant to be applied wholesale today.
All right, real quick, the Bidwell announcement Matt talked about is actually this Tuesday. So we'll be meeting here at 6 o'clock and heading over to Bidwell on 14th. Or if you want to meet us there at 6:20, that's fine. But just an opportunity to go in. We've done outside work before, but now it's strictly inside. You go into the building and you stock shelves and do whatever they need. And many hands make what? There you go. So we'd love to see you guys this Tuesday at 6 here, and we'll head over there. Okay, a little precursor here. One thing I don't want us to think is, as Sean said a few times, hey, this happened at this time in the Bible for these people. Well, how many places in the Bible does it say, "And to you Americans"? Anywhere? It doesn't. So, yes, we want to read things in context, but they do apply to our lives. But at times we can think, you know, what I'm about to share here is amazing if we understand the context that the Israelites were in. So I don't ever want you to think, oh, God only wrote that for the Israelites at that time. The Word of God applies to our lives. When Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, guess who He was talking to? He was speaking to His disciples, but He was speaking to us. We are God's creation, and though Israel is God's chosen generation, they were chosen to be the light and to have the Messiah come through them. So even now, as most of you have probably heard, just the attack on Israel, has anyone heard this and thought, oh boy, Israel's going down? Anybody? They're not going down. They will not go. They are God's chosen. It's somewhat ironic that God's chosen don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but God understands all of it. But they are protected under His authority. So what I want us to comprehend is quite, I think it's going to affect each and every one of us. But what Israel was going through at this time, it was a place of hopelessness. Has anyone ever been in a situation in your lives where you're like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what to do. It could be so many different situations that we're talking about. It could be financial. It could be having not enough. It could be having too much. Anyone ever have too much and you don't know what to do? Years ago, I was probably a teenager, and a friend of ours that went to this church, just a phenomenal gal, and she would just come by herself as a young and then a teenager. Her dad owned a chain of restaurants, just crazy wealthy. And then one day we hear that her mom took her life. And I was so young, I mean, in teenage years, I'm thinking, wait a second, you're married, you had this phenomenal daughter, and all the money you could think of. What happened? But there was something in her that had no hope, had nothing to look forward to. And so what a place for us to be in. God wants us to always know we always have something to hope in, regardless of the situation that we're in, regardless of what our minds are telling us, of what our anxieties are doing. There is always hope. And so let's understand this passage together. And so I want to start, we're in Jeremiah 29. I want to read the first verse, because 11 is what we're focusing on, but this first verse says a lot. Jeremiah, whom was a prophet of God. Jeremiah is special to me in my mind because what's amazing about him was his faithfulness. Jeremiah was the prophet young. They said he was may have been a teenager when he started speaking out for God. But throughout his entire ministry, no one really listened to him. He had no converts. He had no one come and say, hey, I want to worship this God. Can you imagine going through life, like if we as this church, say we're over 90 years old, and we've never had anyone come to Jesus? Everyone that came already knew the Lord. Wouldn't that be somewhat depressing? Would you say that as a church we're a failure? See, Jeremiah was not. He was faithful regardless of the situation. Talk about hopeless. I mean, there's a story right here before we even get into the story. And he just continued to, God would speak to him, and he continued to act out between his times with God. He knew what he should do. He did not allow circumstances outside of his relationship with God to say, you know what? You're just not good at this. You don't speak well enough. You're too young. He kept his faith. And so he, to me, is this amazing man of God because he walked through and he stayed faithful to God regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the outcome. That is faithfulness. And so Jeremiah says here, Jeremiah, he wrote a letter from Jerusalem. So he's actually in Jerusalem at the time. They've been captive, taken in by the Babylonians. He wrote this letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. So that is the situation. So let's think about hope and hopelessness here. You are Israel. You at one time were the most mighty nation. I mean, King Saul was a mighty king. People, if they mess with him, they usually lost. King David was a man after God's own heart, just an amazing king, won the battles that he went into because he put his faith in the Lord. King Solomon was just the most wise king and had 40 years where no battles, 40 years of peace. People would come and kings would come and just say, speak into our lives. This is the Israel that we're talking about. This is what people realize that, man, Israel has this God, and there was a time where you don't mess with Israel. So this was the nation. This was how powerful they were. So picture knowing that, being raised in that, seeing that here in the stories, and now here you are. You have been removed from your home, most likely, in some cases, your family. You've been taken to this other place. You have no freedom whatsoever. What you're doing is what they tell you to do. And now, I mean, can you just for a moment picture that? What's going over now in Israel? People were being pulled from their homes. Some of the young men being taken to be put into a different army. Where's your hope in all this? Are you not like, what is going on? Everything's out of control. I give. So that is the situation that we're in as we go forward into these verses. So I want you to think to yourself in your current situation, do you feel hopeless? Is there something in your life or some things where you're like, I simply don't have control and I don't know what the outcome's going to be? Pay attention to the message that God is speaking to you, because he spoke it to Israel. And it's amazing what he tells them to do. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Did you guys click me over? Oh, I did. Let me turn it on. Here we go. Look at that. It's amazing what works, you know. I try to drive my car without the keys all the time. Jeremiah 29:4-7. This is what the Lord of Heaven Armies says. So Jeremiah had written this letter. It was sent to them over in Babylon. This is the message that these people who are now out of their realm completely, this is what they're hearing from God. The God of Israel says to all captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Did you catch that? God allowed this to happen. So is God in control? See, Israel wasn't doing a great job about following, and so sometimes God will allow things in order to grab our attention. You might think, what's going on? God, if you're a God and you love me, this wouldn't be happening. God may be saying, I just want you to love me. So I'm trying to open your eyes up here a little bit to see your situation, that you need a Savior. You can't do this on your own with your own thoughts or even influences from outside. You need me. So he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. So he is now speaking this to the people who were over, the Israelites who were over in Babylon. Build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens, and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Now listen to this. Do not dwindle away. You see what was happening? Israel is now seeing, man, their homes have been destroyed in Jerusalem. They've been moved. They're not acting. They're thinking, I don't want to bring a child into this. So they're not being together. They're not bringing in children to the world. They've probably been given just different areas. They had some freedom because here they had the freedom to go do things, but they weren't acting. They were just dwindling away. Their existence, they probably thought, we won't even be remembered. We're going to be a nation that just fell. I mean, our end is coming. Complete hopelessness. And God begins to tell them to do these things. Build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens, eat food. I mean, marry, have children. Do not dwindle away. Work for peace and prosperity in the city where I sent you into exile. So they're being told, now, hey, get along with the very people that have taken you from your nation. Work for peace and prosperity. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. What do you think so far? Remember, you're one of them. We're putting ourselves in their shoes. You've been taken. Everything's been taken from you. But now God says, you know what? Don't give up. Live life. But one thing he says, and I'm about to get there, is tweaking them a little bit, because they had some influences that said they were godly, directing them in a different direction. This is what the Lord of Heaven Armies says. The God of Israel says, do not let your prophets. So these are the people they're supposed to be able to listen to. Now this is coming from Jeremiah. He's a prophet, but he is not a false prophet. He is not misleading them. But there are prophets there that wanted a different outcome for Israel. And so they were saying things that were not true. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. The Bible talks about judging someone by their fruit. If you ever wonder, hey, what's going on here? If you ever wonder about me, your spiritual authority maybe within this church, judge me by my fruit. Judge people by their fruit. Do they love the Lord? Do they follow the word of God? Do they have a passion and respect for you and those around you. See, they were hearing, if you go on and read, these prophets were saying, you know what? God's going to come out and get us. I mean, pack your bags, get ready to go. We're going back to Jerusalem in the name of God. But it wasn't in the name of God. What did God just tell them? Build homes. Does that sound like they're taking off anytime soon? He goes on to tell them later, you're going to be here for 70 years. Wait a second, God, 70 years? You can do anything. You are God. Just get us out of here now. Anyone have a plan for God if he would just listen to you? If he would just open up his ears? We have these plans. We can't see beyond. God knew he was going to promise them, but he needed them to come under his authority, be patient, and watch his promises come true. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. So now, let's wrap this in a bow a bit before we go on to the verse that we're talking about. Captivity, taken away from everything that you know, and now God comes and gives you a message and says, I want you to do something you weren't thinking about. I want you to get comfortable right here. All the things that the prophets told you, don't do, don't build a home, don't start families. You know, we'll do that when we get back home. Don't listen to them. You get comfortable right here. You build homes, you start families, and you show respect to the very people that brought you into captivity. I want peace between you. You live that way, and you're going to see the hand of God. Then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. Then, for I know the plans I have for you. God is speaking into our lives here. For those of us who are going through hopeless times, I know, God knows the plans he has for you. He has plans for us. We have plans for ourselves, but God has plans for us. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I did something some of you might not like, but I did it anyway. The Message translation, they call it a loose, this is the Bible, but the Message is known for wording it to where about anyone could understand it, but this just hit me. Listen to this. This is God still speaking to us. Same verse. I know what I'm doing. Does God know what he's doing? Yes. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Listen to this. I like the wordplay. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Who wants a phenomenal future? But what does that phenomenal future look like? Does it mean stuff and money and prosperity? Were we called to have stuff? Sometimes we get our happiness wrapped up in what we have and how we're seen. You want the most amazing feeling in the world is talk to someone about Jesus that has no hope. Despite what the response might be, you are now speaking life into someone that could change their whole eternity. That could take them from someone who might have lived in hell, not even understanding a God or wanting to live for him, to now they're hearing from you the truth of what this Jesus has done to your life. And you just want to give that hope back. And so you were speaking. I'm telling you what, that is prosperity. That is a feeling that goes beyond what we could have and stuff, because it's eternal, it's spiritual. We are taking the message from our God into our spirit. It means so much to us that we are giving it out, not worried about how it's going to be received. If you're denied, if you're persecuted, what does God say? Rejoice and be glad, for in the same way prophets before you were persecuted. What he's saying was, thank you for trying. Thank you for getting out there and speaking the good news of Jesus Christ. And so that is so important for us to understand. plans to give you the future that you hope for. Let's not get a hope in the future confused with what we think it looks like. Yes, what Sean said is true. There are times you'll go through stuff that you're thinking, wait, I haven't done anything wrong. God, I love you. I'm in the Word of God. Why am I going through this? And I just keep going back. Someone walked up to me at work the other day going through a hard time, and he said, Matt, I'm a believer. You know that. Did I do something wrong to deserve this? I took them right to the Word of God, and I said, you know what? How is your faith going to grow if you don't watch God walk you through things like this? It will stagnate. God wants you to grow in Him. And so put your faith in Him and watch what He's going to do in this situation. That's what God has asked us to do. Trials are going to come. Now, this is phenomenal. We got to the verse, and you're thinking, oh, great, man, the sermon's over. It gets better. Are you ready? Watch this. In those days, when you pray, I will listen. There again, it's easy to take this verse real quick. Oh, God's going to, He has a plan for me, and I'm going to prosper, and I no disasters. But there's something called a relationship that is extremely important for us to walk in God's will for our lives. In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. God desires you wholeheartedly. He wants us in a relationship with Him. He wants us in His Word. He wants us in prayer. He wants His words to be on the tip of our tongues, for His thoughts to be on our minds. When we meet somebody or going through a situation, that selfishness, that self-focused nature of us looking at the situation without God involved, He wants to jump in there and think, hey, why am I here? God, what's your plan for this relationship that I'm struggling with? There's a reason for it, God. You have me here for a purpose. What purpose do you want me to serve in this situation? Wholeheartedly. So let's give God our all. Let's spend time with Him on a daily basis. Let's take those difficult conversations with people that we're worried about, will I hurt someone's feelings or offend, and just be honest and say, man, I know the truth. Let me just share with you. Where are you at? Galen. Galen came up to me several months ago when he started coming to church, and just he had a testimony. It's powerful. Probably should have died, but he didn't. And so what he says is, when I meet someone new, I just tell him my testimony. Now, that's what God's asked him to do, and he's doing it. So I'm not saying, oh, the second you see someone, tell them your testimony. I just want you to be Jesus to them. But God spoke it into him. God changed my way of thinking because of this thing in my life, and he's using that now to let them know there is a God that loves you, that wants you to serve Him. So what's your story? What's God doing? What's He done? What's He going to do? Tell that story and just allow the conversation to happen. People will hear about hope that are drowning in hopelessness. They need hope, and there's one true hope that cannot be robbed from us, and that's in Jesus Christ. So God knew, although these Israelites are like, man, it's just over, they're dwindling. He said, hey, don't dwindle. Live life. I am here. But I want you to see that it's me pulling you out of this. And so walk in obedience to me. And that's what God's asked us to do. Ooh, good catch. He goes on to say, God's still speaking to us. I will be found by you. If you search Him wholeheartedly, we are going to find Him. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. God made that promise true to His Israelites. And what does the Word say? He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. We serve that same God. Hopelessness is a feeling, not a fact. I love this focus point. I almost stopped right there. It is a feeling. It is not a fact. The fact is, God does have a plan for our lives. He cannot fail. Those are just facts. He has a plan, and God does not fail. He doesn't. He's God. Therefore, don't lose hope. So when can failure happen? If God has a plan for your life and he cannot fail, what is the only way that failure can happen? Anybody? If we walk away from that plan. If you open up instructions to how to put together this bookshelf, and the creator of this bookshelf wrote out instructions exactly how to do it, what is the only way that I will put this bookshelf together incorrectly? It's if I refuse to follow the instructions. Anyone ever done that? And why do you refuse? I know, I'm thinking, well, I'm a mechanic. And this looks, man, there's like 57 steps. I think I can do it in 27 steps. I see the parts, I see the bolts. Okay, we're good. Man, I'm flying. And this thing is coming together. And then I get to a point to where this piece needed to go in 37 steps ago. And so now I have to back up, start over, and do it correctly. And that's kind of life when we walk out on our own. It's okay. God allows us to back up and have restarts. It's called forgiveness. But hope, hopelessness is a feeling. It is not a fact. So regardless of where you're at, if you're losing hope in a situation, I'm telling you, dig into your relationship with God. Get into his word. Be a great listener and be a great prayer. Let me say that another way. Be a great prayer and be a great listener. He wants to speak to you. You're in a situation that he may have placed you in. He allowed the Israelites to be taken captive by the Babylonians to get their attention because they were not living for him. And in their state of hopelessness, he said, I'm here. I'm here. Skylar, would you come up? I want us to have an opportunity just to respond to this as we're going to sing a song together in closing. But look at me a second. This is honesty. Some people don't like that, but we're a family. Who would say, I'm in a bit of a state of hopelessness in a certain part of my life? Okay. And I appreciate that honesty. Would you allow us to pray for you? That's what I want. I just want to pray for you. Because I believe that there is power in God. He sees, and he knows that. And we just want to pray for you. So I would ask Chad, Jess, you come up. Scott's going to start singing, if praise and worship God, but if that's you, you're like, I don't know. Come up here and we'll not know together, but we're going to pray to a God who does. And we just want to lay hands on you, and we just want to pray for you. Cheyenne, be prepared too. Amen? All right. So as we sing, Skylar, go ahead. And that's you. You want to pray for her. Please come up and just allow us to pray for you.
Storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain.
Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you. As this song says, you're the great doesn't even begin to describe what your faithfulness is. You are faithful to us. You make promises, you keep them. You kept your promises to the nation of Israel despite disobedience on many occasions because you are God. Our actions don't change who you are. So I pray right now for just anyone in a state of hopelessness, may they be reminded, man, your passion and love for us is so great. You gave us your Son, and He was going to take those sins, those iniquities, those shortcomings, and they were going to be buried, not to raise again. And so that bridge was built. So God, we have a connection with You. May we rely on that connection. May we be in prayer. May we be walking in the direction of You, because You are great and Your faithfulness will never fail us. So I pray against just the spirit of hopelessness that Satan has cast on many, that that spirit will die. That is simply a feeling. It is not a fact. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have hope. That Jesus, He raised from the dead. That's hope. He ascended in front of many up to heaven. That's something to hope for. And the people like Peter that were reminded of their sins when the rooster crowed, they were forgiven, as are we. So God, we have hope in Your name. May we walk this earth loving You out loud, spreading the good news, sharing this hope with the people who are struggling to understand why they even exist, and maybe contemplating why they should still exist. You are the God of hope. In Your name, Lord Jesus, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, may we walk in that truth and that fact. In Your name, and everyone says, amen. Amen.